are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and on this show, we provide daily episodes talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, we're going to do another Giants mailbag. We have several great questions related to what the Giants are going to do this offseason. So before we get into it, a little bit about me. I've been a contributor for the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs, which is part of Fangraphs. I started a Giants podcast called Covecast in 2015 and then joined the Locked On Podcast Network prior to the 2019 season. So jumping right into the questions, the first one comes from Matthew, who asks, how do you think the Giants will fill out starters 3 through 5 for 2021? Will they go outside the organization? If so, who would they most likely target? And so I think the assumption here is that Kevin Gausman and Johnny Cueto would be the top two starters. I think hopefully they get somebody besides Cueto to be that number two starter, because at the end of the day, Cueto, I believe, had the worst earned run average among all National League starters, possibly all starters in MLB. I'll have to double check on that one. But the fact is the Giants are in need of starting pitching and probably at least two or three more additions who figure to be key players in that starting rotation. I do not think that it's true anymore that you just need five starters and then call it a day. Used to be you had five starters and then you had one like long man, quote unquote. But these days, you know, teams are a lot more cautious with their pitchers, so they're going to need more than five starters. And that's kind of where I think the youth and, you know, prospects come into play. They're going to give guys a chance that way instead of just right out of spring training relying on, you know, maybe inserting a couple of prospects into the rotation. So that being said, I think Tyler Anderson is a candidate to be brought back. He's certainly somewhat of a fringe candidate to be possibly non-tendered, but I also think it's possible, you know, Tyler Anderson probably doesn't want to test the market himself. So those arbitration projections for him that have people saying he might be non-tendered, it's like $3 to $4 million. I think it's definitely possible the Giants could negotiate a more reasonable price for Tyler Anderson, maybe more like $2 million, and they could just agree to a contract around December 1st, which the Giants have historically done under Farhan Zaidi with their arbitration eligible players. So Tyler Anderson, definitely a candidate to be brought back. I thought he provided solid average innings last year. Some good, some bad, but, you know, solid average to me. But beyond that, there are a number of free agents who make sense for the Giants. A little bit like Kevin Gausman last year, an upside arm. So ultimately, I'm saying yes, they could certainly go outside the organization. There are just a number of arms who are looking for a little bit of a rebound who offer some upside. I'll just list some of the names. Jose Quintana, James Paxton, who's a favorite of mine. He's always injured, but when he's on the field, he's really good. So I think that the upside is certainly there with Paxton. Garrett Richards, I like his arm a lot. Corey Kluber, Charlie Morton, Drew Smyly. I think he might be a favorite to come back because there's mutual interest, much like there was with Gausman. There's also kind of lesser arms like Rick Porcello, Cole Hamels, John Lester, Chris Archer. So a lot of possibilities for pitchers looking for a rebound, and the Giants are a popular destination for pitchers who want to rebuild their value because of the fact that they play in such a pitcher-friendly ballpark. So it should be a long offseason. They have a lot of options, and they might just wait this out to see who's left in January or February. Cobert Gobert asks, who do you think could be DFA'd with the roster crunch approaching? Any thoughts on this list? And the list includes Aramis Garcia, Chris Shaw, Jordan Humphreys, Trevor Gott, and Darren Ruff. So just to be clear, the roster crunch that is approaching is a November 20th deadline. That's a week from today for teams to set their 40-man rosters in terms of having players on it who are then protected from the Rule 5 draft. So we've talked a lot about that this offseason so far. Giants will have to add Alexander Canario to their 40-man roster. Otherwise, he would be very likely taken in the Rule 5 draft. There are others as well. Camilo Duvall. I don't know how many others are likely. Duvall and Canario would be the top two, I believe. And so that's the deadline that Cobert Gobert is talking about here. I believe the Giants' 40-man roster now stands at 39 with the addition of Gausman. So at least somebody's going to have to be DFA'd if they're adding two to the 40-man roster. But they could just add Canario, and then that would be 40 out of 40. So I'm not sure they're going to have to DFA anybody. But certainly as the offseason goes along and they add new players, they will have to make DFAs. But probably won't be more than two necessary DFAs or trades or whatever to get the roster at 40. So with that said, I think it's a pretty fair list. I mean, this is a list of five guys. I don't think they're going to have to DFA five guys in the coming weeks. But Aramis Garcia stands out as a definite candidate because right now they have four catchers on the 40-man roster. Posey, Bart, Tromp, and Garcia. And to me, I think that I've seen enough of Tromp to believe he's probably a better player than Aramis Garcia right now. He's also younger than Aramis Garcia. Garcia was a holdover from the old regime. I think Posey, Tromp, and Bart is a pretty solid group. And then if they end up adding a veteran catcher, then maybe Tromp is a DFA candidate as well. But for now, there's no reason to have four catchers on the 40-man roster. So I think Garcia may be the first to go there. Chris Shaw is another candidate for sure, if and when they need the spot. Jordan Humphreys, I mean, I don't know. Didn't he not even play? He was like on the restricted list. He had some sort of family issue or something. He was acquired for Billy Hamilton in that trade with the Mets, if memory serves. Trevor Gott is an interesting candidate. I think of him more as a non-tender candidate than like a DFA guy in the next week. Or maybe you're also referring to non-tender possibilities in terms of DFAs. In terms of non-tenders, yes, I think Trevor Gott and Darren Ruff are possibilities. Ruff, I think they might just, you know, the arbitration estimate is a little bit high given that rosters are going to be contracting back down to 26. And so I think they'd like to bring him back for less than is projected. And so that may lead to a non-tender and an attempt to bring him back, perhaps. Trevor Gott, after the year he had, I would consider him a non-tender candidate. Anyway, more questions and answers coming up next. But before we get into it, I want to talk about our good friends over at Built Bar. If you know me, you know that I love these bars. And I wouldn't be saying that about these bars if they weren't so low in sugar, because I'm a health conscious person and I'm not going to be eating a protein bar that basically is a candy bar. But what's great about Built Bar is that they taste like a candy bar. They taste like candy, except they're somehow very low in sugar and high in protein. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew. I'm going to give an example of the nutritional facts about one of these bars. The peanut butter bar has 19 grams of protein, just 180 calories, and 5 grams of sugar. Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch. There's a free cooler with every purchase while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. All right, here in the second half of the show, just going to continue running through your questions in this edition of the Giants Mailbag. Lane asks, with so many teams seemingly trying to save money, would now be the ideal time for the Giants to try some more Will Wilson-like trades? If they are one-year contracts, they could still be in position in 2022 to spend for the bigger free agent market. The answer to me is absolutely yes. Now is an ideal time for the Giants to flex their financial might and try to buy prospects, essentially. That's what the Will Wilson trade was. For those who don't know, last winter, the Giants acquired two players from the Angels, Will Wilson and Zach Cozart. And the deal was basically that Zach Cozart was injured and the Giants never had the intention of having him on their roster. They agreed to take on his salary, which was about $13 million. And in exchange, the Angels attached their first round draft pick from that season. So to me, a total fleece by the Giants getting Will Wilson just by paying about $13 million. We've gone over the financials of that. It was certainly worthwhile, despite the fact that Wilson's signing bonus was less than that. That's not how the math works. But if other teams are willing to do trades like that, I mean, it takes a special kind of inept team to be willing to do a trade like that. I'm sorry, but the Angels, I mean, look at where they are right now. They fired their general manager, even though it was the owner who, I'm sure, made him do that kind of trade. It was just a cost-saving trade. So it's not the GM's money. He's just doing what the owner wants. And so, I mean, currently it's a little bit different because teams are, you know, some teams lost a lot of money and I'm sure they want to trim payroll. The owners do. And so, yeah, if the Giants can take advantage, they should be looking for any team willing to do that type of trade. And that might be the best thing they could do all offseason if they get a couple of moves like that. And you're right. They can spend on the 1 year, like if they take on a contract that's just 1 year, that money comes off the books next year and they have this totally open payroll. So yeah, let's do that. Hope for that. That would be great. Scott asks, how big an issue is losing Katz? So the Giants lost Ethan Katz yesterday to the Chicago White Sox. Although I read somewhere, you know, the White Sox released a statement. Tony La Russa, for those who didn't hear, was charged with a DUI the day before he was announced as the White Sox manager. And I read yesterday that the hiring of Ethan Katz is contingent upon the White Sox actually continuing on with Tony La Russa. And the White Sox had released a statement that they'll have more to comment on after the resolution of the legal situation with La Russa. So I guess it's not totally set in stone yet. But more to your point, losing Ethan Katz as an assistant pitching coach to the White Sox as their pitching coach, I think is actually not that big of a deal. It certainly is a loss and it stings, but the reason it's not that big of a deal is that Gabe Kapler is prepared. And so he had Katz as possibly his top option for that specific position, but I'm extremely confident that he has several people in mind as replacements, as do the other pitching coaches who I'm sure know other people in the industry who would fit well in that role. So this is kind of the plight of smart teams these days, is that their coaches get plucked away, just like the Giants plucked away Farhan Zaidi from the Dodgers. I know he's not a coach, but still, same idea. So this is just something we're going to have to live with, coaches getting stolen away because the coaches are having success. But we know that Gabe Kapler was extremely prepared during his interviews to become the manager of the Giants in terms of who he wanted to have on his coaching staff. He apparently has like a binder of people who are next in line for these types of positions. So they're going to be fine, I think. But that's not to say it's not somewhat of a loss losing Ethan Katz. Finally, Susan asks, will Marcus Semien get a nine-figure offer? And what's that suggest about Trevor Bauer? Did winning the Cy Young affect his price? So first of all, in regards to Semien, I think you're referring to this piece in the San Francisco Chronicle that mentions that Semien's agent says that he's a $100+ million player. And that may have been true last offseason, but this year he's coming off a dreadful year. And it makes 2019 look more kind of like the one fluky year in his career. And so I think he's more in line for like a one-year deal to try to rebuild his value. MLB trade rumors project like 1 year, $14 million. So I think his agent is just kind of desperate and grasping at straws and trying to say, no, he's really good. Please pay him. Unfortunately for Semien, the year he had, he's not going to come close to $100 million. But it's well within his right to say, look, I think I'm worth that. So I'm just going to take a 1 year deal, rebuild my value, and try to get that contract next year. In terms of Bauer, obviously, it might affect Bauer's price if Simeon did get a nine-figure deal, but he won't, so I don't think it affects his price. But winning the Cy Young definitely does help Trevor Bauer. I mean, he can use that as a negotiation tactic. Just say, look, I won the Cy Young Award. I'm the best pitcher in the National League. What he has going against him is that it was a short season, so teams can just say, the Cy Young Award in 2020 doesn't mean as much as a Cy Young Award in another season. Still, I think Trevor Bauer is going to do just fine for himself. He's easily the top pitcher available in free agency, and it's not even close. So he should do just fine for himself, and the Giants will probably be involved in those discussions. All right, that is all the time we have for today. Remember to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. If you enjoyed this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review in the Apple Podcast Store. And also be sure to follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.